Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Block Talk Radio studio right here in the heart of Hudson County, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you the three-time award-winning Politically Direct, and I am the professor and New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe. And once again, I want to thank you all for joining us here on the 4th of February. Folks, 2021 is flying by. I hope you had a wonderful week, despite the blizzard that we experienced for a lot of New Jersey. I know some of my friends down in down the shore in South Jersey didn't get it as bad as we did up here with almost 2 feet of snow. But again, I hope you all had a wonderful week. Hopefully you're staying healthy and COVID-free. And once again, we thank you for joining us here on InsiderNJ.com/podcast, the official home for Politically Direct. And of course, I want to thank you all for listening from wherever and however you may be doing so throughout the Garden State, and of course, all my friends throughout the U.S. of A. Now, you can write to the show's inbox at any time, folks. It's Politically Direct, nj@yahoo.com. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic coming up, I'd love to hear from you. We got some great guests coming up in the next few weeks. Again, it's election season here in the state of New Jersey, so it's getting busy for Insider NJ, and of course, here on the podcast. So you definitely want to write to me, and also let me know what you think about the show, if you like it, if you don't. We're celebrating 3 years on the air right now, folks, via Insider NJ. So I couldn't be happier again about this accomplishment. And we'll keep, you know, going strong here in 2021. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, folks, at Politically Direct NJ. And also check me out on Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. And whether it's about pro wrestling, sports, funny memes, politics, anything like even politically incorrect humor, you'll find that and much more on my Instagram stories. So, hey, a lot of traffic, tons of new followers, plenty of likes. Hey, check me out on Instagram, and trust me, you won't be disappointed. Also, hit me up on Twitter, folks. My Twitter handle is @NoFilterUribe. Once again, @NoFilterUribe on Twitter. And, of course, please, for all you Facebook subscribers, hit me up there on the official page for Politically Direct. 1,000 likes and counting on the page, folks. Share it and tell your friends to do the same. Again, I do appreciate all of your support for the podcast on all the aforementioned social media platforms. Now, I do want to hear from you tonight at some point, ladies and gentlemen. Call me toll-free, 818-572-8032. Once again, toll-free number tonight is 818-572-8032. And we have a great guest coming up in just a few moments, so you definitely want to stick around for that. And, of course, I will take some calls later in the show, so please be patient. I do want to get to as much as I possibly can with my guest tonight later in the broadcast. And folks, our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider NJ. And don't forget to check out Insider NJ, ladies and gentlemen, by going to the website, www.insidernj.com, for the best coverage of the political scene anywhere in the state of New Jersey. Folks, we do it better than anyone does online. And again, we'll definitely check out www.insidernj.com. Once you go on the main page, you'll see the subscribe button on the upper right-hand corner. And guess what? Once you click on it, you're automatically enrolled free of charge in the morning intelligence briefing. So, hey, when you wake up, maybe you're going for a run, maybe you're walking your dog, maybe you get up and watch the sports shows like I do. I love my, First Things First, and then I watch Undisputed on Fox Sports. Once in a while, I might turn on ESPN and watch some of the bad programming there. But in any event, I'm sure I'm doing the same thing you are, and that's going through my inbox on my phone or my tablet. And guess what? Once I wake up, the morning intelligence briefing will be right there waiting. The best comms, what's going on in the state of New Jersey, courtesy of the outstanding team at Insider NJ. I couldn't say enough about how proud I am to be under the Insider NJ umbrella. Certainly, we're all a team. We don't always like each other. I know a lot of my colleagues at Insider NJ don't like me, and that's okay. I don't like a lot of them back. That's all right. We're guys. That's testosterone. That's just the way it is. That's the business. But again, check out the great columns by our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro. We have other great contributions by columnists such as Fred Snowflack, as well as Alan Steinberg, even though he drives me crazy sometimes with some of his left-wing stuff. And even Jay Lasseter, who, is probably the most insufferable leftist in New Jersey media. But, he's a good writer. I'll give him his due. He's a good writer. Not a great person to interact with, that's for sure. But I have to say he's an exceptional journalist, and I'll give credit where it's due. So, folks, that's the great part about Insider NJ. It's very balanced. It's very diverse ideologically and also journalistically. So you definitely want to check it out, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like Insider on Facebook and follow it on Twitter. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, the opinions and views expressed tonight and every week here on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, staff, or our sponsors. Well, folks, again, I hope you had a wonderful week. I know it was very difficult for a lot of us up here in North Jersey. Again, faced with almost 2 feet of snow. I know we had to shovel multiple times up here where I live in Hudson County. And hopefully all of you got to do it safely, didn't overexert yourself, didn't pull a muscle, didn't hurt your back, whatever the case may be. That tends to happen in the wintertime, especially when you're shoveling snow. But folks, I got to tell you, it's Super Bowl weekend. I'm excited for Super Bowl 55 coming up this Sunday. And I was even happier to learn this week that the governor decided to finally, after so many months, look at battling COVID in a much more proactive manner. And I'm happy to report, obviously, tomorrow, as it's been all over the news feed since yesterday, but effective tomorrow, the restrictions on indoor dining have been lifted. It's no longer ceasing at 10 p.m. And bars and restaurants, accordingly, obviously, indoor capacity has only risen slightly from 25% to 35%. But bars and restaurants will have their normal operating hours. There's no curfew. And I'll tell you, folks, coming up for Super Bowl Sunday, that is extremely welcome. And again, I have to give a shout out to State Senator Anthony Bucco out in Morris County. As a matter of fact, I interviewed him recently on my Real Talk show on Monday nights, which, by the way, you can listen to and actually watch via EyesNNJ at the website, www.eyesnnj.org/real-talk. And I remember talking with the state senator a few weeks ago, and obviously seeing his name in the news, really kind of getting on Governor Murphy to, retract the executive orders, not just for Super Bowl Sunday this weekend, right, but the following Sunday, which is Valentine's Day. And I know for a lot of guys and gals in New Jersey, it's a big day. You want to take out your honey, your sweetie for dinner, obviously to a restaurant where you're not going to feel like you have to rush through your meal, right? And that's not going to be the case, right? It's Valentine's Day. Who knows? Maybe you want to get lucky after. Hey, God bless you. If you can do that, hey, go for it. You know what I'm saying? But in any event, good to see the governor lifting those restrictions when it comes to dining. I wish that the indoor capacity was raised significantly. I mean, folks, we're seeing what's going on in Florida and Texas. And I know the first thing a lot of people are going to say is, well, Fernando, those are two completely different states. Well, what those governors have done, Governors Abbott and DeSantis collectively, is they've taken a regional approach in how to tackle COVID-19. I think the Department of Health has done the governor here an immense disservice by just doing this sort of one-size-fits-all philosophy. And it's hurt. It's hurt small businesses. It's hurt, gatherings, whether it be funerals, weddings, political events, whatever you want to call it, you know. And I think now the governor is seeing the necessity, as we're almost a full year into this year in New Jersey with the pandemic, about getting the New Jersey economy back on track. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, it seems like too little too late. A lot of businesses closed permanently. Some are still hanging on by, you know, the skin of their teeth. And I would argue, folks, that, again, just 25 to 35% isn't a great increment. It's an increment nonetheless, but it should be higher. And I'm hoping that the governor sees the error of his ways and, you know, is able to, you know, raise that capacity, hopefully much sooner than later. But in any event, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, again, Super Bowl Sunday. And whether you're rooting for the Chiefs or for the, you know, or for the, I'm sorry, Patriots, it's like, you know, just habit. The Buccaneers, right, led by Tom Brady. You know, you want to watch the game. You know, if you're out somewhere with a group of friends having dinner or watching the Super Bowl, the last thing you have to worry about, you know, is 5 to 10, where the waiter would come up to you and be like, hey, listen, you know, you have to, you know, clear the table, please pay your check, you know, be on your way. You know, that's probably like the middle of the third quarter, if not the end of the third quarter. You're like, you still have the entire fourth quarter to go. So, you know, and you're sort of putting people in the position of like, well, what am I going to do? I don't know, I'll go to a house party. So if there's such a concern about, you know, curtailing COVID, well, guess what? That wouldn't happen because most likely people will be going to house parties. And you know what, 20, 30, 40 people, that's not a super spreader possibility than what is. So good to see the governor change his mind about indoor dining. I wish it was a higher capacity. I'm glad to see, again, restaurants and bars and anything that's dining intensive will not have a curfew. They'll have their regular operating hours. So it's good to see that, especially this weekend where everyone loves the Super Bowl. Whether you like the game or not, you're in it for the commercials, you're in it for the gambling, you're in it to watch whatever. You know, it's a great time of year. It's, again, sort of a national pastime to watch the Super Bowl. I'm hoping for a good game, but, you know, as a fellow 40-year-old male, I'm rooting for Tom Brady. I'm hoping he takes it home for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see. But, folks, you know what? Before the Super Bowl, guess what? Here in New Jersey, it's the Super Bowl of politics because it's election season. And, of course, all 120 legislative seats will be up for grabs. And also, Governor Murphy is seeking re-election. Who he faces remains to be seen, but somebody who could be looking across from him on the ballot, should he win the primary in June and subsequently be the Republican nominee, is my guest tonight. He's a former Somerset County, and he's a good guy. Just had him on my show on Monday night on Real Talk via Eisen and Jay. He's just very informative. Folks, let's welcome Mr. Brian Levine to Politically Direct. Mr. Levine, how are you?
Good. Professor Uribe, how you doing?
Good. Long time no speak, right? It seems like forever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a long time.
Last time I spoke to you, there was snow on the ground. Oh.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, coming down. And now, obviously, good to see some sun today, Mr. Levine, and some of that snow melting up here, at least in North Jersey. So I'm happy to see it. So, Mr. Levine, you know, again, for everybody that didn't have a chance to catch our interview, which, by the way, has gotten a lot of positive feedback on Monday when you were on my Real Talk show. You know, obviously it's election season, as I just mentioned, and you have not a daunting task, but you have a tough task like anyone who is running for office, who is trying to win a primary. You know, as of right now, tonight, on the 4th of February, only yourself and former State Assemblyman Jack Chiarelli are the declared Republican candidates. A lot of people off the air have said to me, Fernando, interesting, you're going to have Brian Levine on. What do you think of him? And I've given my opinion off the air to tons of people, and I really enjoyed our talk on Monday. But Mr. Levine,
thanks,
for people tuning
too.
In tonight. No, absolutely. But Mr. Levine, very simply, for people tuning in tonight, why are you the better choice to represent the Republican Party as the nominee in 2021 to challenge Governor Murphy?
Okay, well, I'll tell you why I'm the good nominee for this one. I mean, again, I'm not saying Jack's a good guy, but I want to make New Jersey livable for middle-class families, and that's been being pulled out. The rug's been pulled out from under them for so long. The state's, frankly, kind of a mess, especially the finances. And I want to go in there, roll up my sleeves, do the work that's necessary, and just get it done. And I know I can do that.
Now, Ms. Levine, when we talk about your possibilities, again, you've been involved in government for some time. you have an excellent and very thorough business background as a CPA and also an MBA. But at the end of the day, it's experience in government that really, I think, empowers people to say, hey, because of this experience, because of my public service, I feel I'm the best candidate moving forward to represent the Republican Party. And we'll get to a little bit later how I feel the Republican Party is a little bit, not in shambles, but it's a little bit in disarray because I think because of ideology. You've gone on record saying, you know, that you are the only and true conservative in this race. Why is that?
Didn't want to say the only one, but I come from an angle of I come from an angle of conservative in my financial outlook, which I have, and I've got a proven track record for that. We are the state that has, I believe, more gun control laws than anyone in the country, and people want to keep eroding that a little bit, and we have to take a look at that. I don't think people need that done. I mean, taken away from them. And the good old core values that people need and deserve, I stand for them. I always have. And I think people have respected that. That's why I've gotten support from in my races where I don't think I've ever run where I was in the majority of the registered voters. That's Republican, Independent, and Democrat have come to me so that I've been elected.
Well, again, and let's look at that breakdown because we talked about a little bit on Monday on my Real Talk show, but you know, Republicans always face a challenge every election season because the breakdown is very simple where we're looking at registrations here. And right now, currently, a little over 38% of registered voters are Democrats, as opposed to 22% are Republicans. But here's the key demographic, though, Mr. Levine, and I know you're aware of it. I know your campaign staff is aware of it. 37% of New Jerseyans are like myself. We're unaffiliated. We're independents. And those are the people that decide elections. And the reason I use that example is because, you know, back in 2009, and again, irrespective of what we know or think of 8 years of Chris Christie, but in the fall of 2009, you know, then former U.S. Attorney Chris Christie was able to really galvanize Republicans and get them out to vote for him. But he was able to get, of course, some Democrats to come out. But really, he really mobilized independents to come out. And even still, he only won by 4 to 5 points. So that's how razor-thin the margin is. You know, you really have to get independents on your side. And that didn't happen last cycle, which is why, number one, we got a 37% voter turnout. Number two, you know, Phil Murphy at the time in 2017 garnered a little over 1.2 million votes. His opponent, then Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno, a little under 899,000 votes. It's, you know, roughly a margin of like 300,000 votes or so. Guess what? For our audience tonight, over 3 million people, Mr. Levine, stayed home in 2017.
Amazing.
So you can make the case, that because of 3 million people staying home, guess what? We got Phil Murphy. Now Republicans face the task of, hey, you know what? We can't afford to have that many people stay home again. Otherwise, you know, Governor Murphy is going to certainly be reelected. What can you say to not just Republicans tonight listening to you, Mr. Levine, but to independents that are on the fence? They're not sure exactly if they want to buy what you're selling. And at this time of year, that's what it's all about, Mr. Levine.
Okay. And Professor, you're right. So many people stayed home, and those independents and unaffiliated, that's actually very good. They reserve an opinion for the candidates that they like and will do it for them. So I think a lot of those independents over the last year will be saying, what happened to my job? What happened to my small business? What happened to me having freedom? So I think if we give them, and it's not just vote for me because I'm Brian, vote for me because I'm Democratic, Republican, Independent, but vote for me because I can make a difference in your life. And tell them why. And I think a lot of people are just disgusted and disaffected, and that's why they stay home. So I think if we give them a reason to come out, and people have in the past, and I'd be glad to travel all over to give them that reason. And the reason is they've been sold, the people, for a long time, they've been sold a bill of goods. Everything's going to get better. Just give me a little bit more taxes and I'll fix everything. Give me a little bit more tolls. Give me a little bit more everything. And we'll fix it. And that's not the way to fix it. It's like a business. It's like I've done in the past. It's getting to the root of things and helping it out. And it's I've convinced people in the past, and even I think when people have disagreed with me, and this I respect highly with the independents also, even when they disagree with you, if they think often you're sincere and you will listen, or maybe there's somewhere in between they can be, then they're with you and they can be with you. And it's too often in elections, it's people either being disgusted and staying home, as you said many do, or I'm voting against this candidate. They want someone they can vote for, not just like someone they can vote, voting for this person because they're voting against someone else. And I think that's what I can help explain to people too, why I'm the person they should vote for and do good for them.
Well, let's talk about doing for them. And let's talk about some policy here where we can sort of, you know, give our audience the opportunity to understand, you know, what differentiates you ultimately from your opponent. And because at the end of the day, so the, you know, come primary day, Republicans have to make it.
Professor, did I lose you? Hello? Professor?
Mr. Levine, I'm sorry about that. Are you still there, Mr. Levine? Oh, okay. I don't know why that happened. Folks, again, we apologize. Some technical difficulties there. Please bear with us here. If Mr. Levine can call back, I'd appreciate it. I'm hoping that he can. I don't know what, again, sometimes Block Talk Radio does this. Again, folks, my apologies. Technology, you know, it's one of those things, folks. You know, if you can call back, we're trying to get Mr. Levine on here again. Again, some technical difficulties, you know, here on the program. So, you know, folks, again, call in tonight here, 818-572-8032. Once again, 818-572-8032. I'll take some calls later in the show here. Again, we were just briefly disconnected with Mr. Brian Levine, New Jersey gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party here. Here on the program, so let's get him back on. Mr. Levine, my apologies. Sir, are you there?
Yeah, I mean, or my apologies. Technology has to come a little ways, I guess.
Yeah, it's, again, my apologies. Sometimes Block Talk Radio does that. So, again, for everybody tuning in now, folks, it's 9:23 on the East Coast here on Block Talk Radio. Again, we appreciate you hanging in there with us. Brief technical difficulties here. We'll take some calls later in the show. Once again, 818-572-8032, our toll-free number. We'll take some calls later in the show here, and our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider NJ. Joining me here tonight is 2021 gubernatorial candidate, Mr. Brian Levine. Mr. Levine, again, I'm not sure if you got my – I was trying to finish my question here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Pretty much, you know, again, Republicans have the decision to make leading up into June. And right now, as it stands, on the 4th of February, it is you who is the declared candidate, along with former Assemblyman Jack Chiarelli. You know, Republicans listening tonight have a decision to make, and quite frankly, what differentiates you from the former Assemblyman who has been going up and down the state? You know, in fairness to Mr. Chiarelli, he's been at this a little bit longer. I think he kind of, you know, by his own admission, he learned to, you know, get into this race a lot sooner, which he has been. You know, you've just declared recently. Why are you just a better choice than Assemblyman Chiarelli to lead the Republican Party on the ballot?
Well, at this point, I don't want to, you know, say that I've known Jack for a long time. So I'll just speak about why I'm a good choice for people. Some of it is just the experience being, I was a councilman, elected two terms in a town in central New Jersey with a town of population of almost 70,000, name of Franklin in Somerset County. I was the mayor for three terms, a couple terms as freeholder, which is now a county commissioner. One is the freeholder director, 1 year there. And my track record has is multi-pronged. First, it's fiscal. We had a strong fiscal town. Our budget was always strong and nicely balanced. We had a strong surplus based on construction permits. We were in the top 1% of the state, but we didn't overwhelm ourselves. During that time, we grew our police department, kept our taxes stable. When I was freeholder, maintained our AAA bond rating. And it wasn't only fiscal. People knew me when I started as mayor from the very beginning. It was open government. Integrity absolutely matters. I was one of the first ones in the state to bring cameras into the council chambers and get all of our agendas and everything out for people to see beforehand so that they would know what's happening. Plus, in the town and the county, social services are were known for that more than almost anyone. And even though I'm a CPA by profession, my heart is always in the human services. So I always maintained that liaisonship as my freeholder years also. So I can, in town, I can lead businesses to help create jobs because businesses are the ones who create jobs. I can get my hands around the fiscal issues because I do that. As a CPA who's practicing with clients, individuals, small businesses, I do that virtually daily. It delivers different kinds of services, but in the final analysis, it's like my family and your family and everyone's small business. Inflow has to exceed outflow unless there's a good reason to account for that. And it's just kind of putting a sharp pencil to it, and I'm not afraid to do that, and I'll do that. And what that does, it leads to fiscal stability, it leads to growth, it leads to stabilization of taxes, which then, in turn, it kind of all works together like a nice symphony, and that creates jobs. And we'll need someone proactive because the businesses, after the last year, are just mired in the mud. They were stuck from all the policies. And it's time for someone with some ability and forethought and the strength, like myself, to come and pull them out of that mud and make it better, especially for our middle class.
Well, Mr. Levine, it's interesting you bring up the middle class because it would appear that in recent years, if not, I would say probably the last decade, the middle class has shrunk in New Jersey. And for a variety of different reasons. And, you know, obviously one that I'll argue about is the fact that New Jersey continues to have the highest property taxes in the United States. And it's a distinction I'm not proud of as a homeowner and taxpayer myself.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not very thrilled with how Trenton has been governing. And here's a scenario for you, because I get a lot of heat on social media, Mr. Levine, about whether it's on this program, via Insider NJ or Eisen NJ or my other programs. You know, a lot of people who are cynics will say, Fernando, you know, you never really come down on Republicans or conservatives. You seem to be very harsh consistently against Democrats, liberals, progressives in Trenton. And, you know, it just seems like you're not, you know, you need to be a little more consistent. And my answer is always the same. My answer is, well, when Republicans and or conservatives have any influence in policy, then I'll hold them accountable. Right now they're in the minority. Not to say that Republicans are powerless in the legislature, but for all accounts, for 20 years, Democrats have controlled both chambers. They've controlled the budget. They control spending. And yes, we've interchanged governors, Republicans to Democrats, Democrats to Republicans. But at the end of the day, Mr. Levine, it's the legislature. It's Democrats and this very liberal tax and spend fixation that they have that's ruined New Jersey. So my answer to people is, hey, when conservatives and Republicans have a say in policy, then I'll come down on them. But guess what? Culpability, the only people to hold accountable are the Democrats. That's not being malicious, Mr. Levine. That's being factual, sir.
Yeah. And, you know, other states actually run it a little differently, where the party that's in the minority is actually allowed to propose legislation and put it on the floor. New Jersey, it's no, if you're in the minority, you basically have nothing. If you're in the majority, you're the gatekeeper to everything. And that's why it would be good to get someone in Trenton as the governor who can veto the bad legislation, the tax increases, the job killers, and work with the other side, work with all sides to do the building, the creating. I'm not a person who's just, no, I don't want to do things. I'll say no when it's bad. But I really want to work with the other side, at both sides, let's say, all three, Democratic, Republican, Independent, to forge good legislation. We've had models of that in our history.
Yeah.
And that just works well for everyone. And the river rises and all the ships float.
Well, fair enough. Folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:30 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. And joining me tonight on Politically Direct is 2021 New Jersey gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party and former Somerset County Freeholder, Mr. Brian Levine. Mr. Levine, do you want to take some calls right now, or do you want to wait a few minutes?
Sure. Hey,
all right.
You're the quarterback, yeah. So whatever you think is good.
Oh, okay, well, listen, I'll try to do a Tom Brady and lead us to a productive drive here. All right, folks.
Okay, and I hope you're going to give us the Super Bowl winner like you had asked me last time.
Oh, yes. No, we'll talk about that later in the show.
Before the end of the show. Absolutely.
Folks, we'll take some calls right now. Again, please be respectful. Please be brief. If you have a question or a comment to make to me or to Mr. Levine, please do so again respectfully. I appreciate that. You guys are the best audience, and just do me proud here. Let's go to the phone, 732 area code right now. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what do you got for me tonight on Politically Direct? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Olivia. I'm from Hunterdon County.
Hi, Olivia.
My question's for Mr. Levine.
Sure.
Good, how are you?
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, I'm graduating from college this year, so I was just wondering your thoughts on, like, how the job market's going to be, how easy it's going to be for me to find a job. Like, what is your plan for that?
Okay. Olivia, that's very, very good question. And it gets tough. And I was there a couple decades ago, graduating from good old Rutgers. And
oh,
if you look
too.
At it. Ah, well, all right. Great. So statistically, young people who graduate in a recession have, unfortunately, it takes them a long time to make it up. And I'm just, because back at Rutgers, I was actually, my degree is in economics, even though I'm a CPA by profession. Mm-hmm. So I studied a lot of that, macro and microeconomics. And unfortunately, that's what happens. So what we've got to do, we have to be proactive in this state. Last year, it was just kind of, it seemed like almost willy-nilly that, okay, the restaurants are going to close. Oh, but then it's 25% capacity, okay. Oh, now 35% is okay. Like, there's no rhyme or reason where these numbers are coming from. It's got to be, if it's based on science, then give us the science. If it's off of someone's head, then it doesn't work. In New Jersey also, as mayor, again, we were in the top 1% of growth in the state. That's because my philosophy was, government does certain things. We inspect. We want to make sure if it's a restaurant, it's safe, it's construction, it will stand up. If it's zoning, it fits the neighborhood. You don't want to put something like a factory in the middle of a neighborhood where people live. You inspect, you do the right things, and then you get out of the way because businesses know how to create jobs. Businesses know how to do things. And in New Jersey, we keep like throwing wrenches in the works. And in New Jersey also, we're a high tax state, even little things. Okay, I said I'm a CPA by profession. A small business for a federal income tax return might file 2 pages. In New Jersey, it's like a dozen. Like, why does New Jersey need so much more info? That costs small businesses time and money. We've got to get off the back of small businesses. Small businesses collect payroll and sales tax and submit it to the state. And the state uses them as unpaid tax collectors. I mean, we've got to give them a break. So as far as jobs go, if you help businesses, they help us too. The other thing I've always seen is you go to Massachusetts or Virginia or Maryland, you start crossing the border, and it says, in Virginia, here's the way to Thomas Jefferson's house or Mount Vernon, or Massachusetts is the Kennedy Library, Bunker Hill, whatever they have. In New Jersey, where I'm told, we have more Revolutionary War sites than anywhere in the country. It's almost a secret. We had Albert Einstein here, and no one knows. Tourism is what brings other people into your state and puts money in the coffers, which lets you create jobs again. So we've got to not just be a state where, okay, I hope things get better. Let me collect more taxes, and maybe I can do something else. No, it's got to be proactive, and it's got to have the minds on the people, on the businesses. It's got to be that way, and that's what I really want to do. And if I don't have all the answers, I certainly want to listen to everyone who has ideas, and I will.
Well, Mr. Levine, again, and Olivia, by the way, I'm also a Rutgers alumni, so it's good to have you on
the show
tonight.
We're going to form a club.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, Olivia, thank you for calling, and I appreciate your question. You know, hang on the line there. I hope you keep, you know, listening to the show, and thanks for being a fan here on Politically Direct. And, you know, we'll certainly talk off the air, and again, I love talking to all my listeners and all the fans of the show, all right? So hang in there, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Olivia, thanks again. We'll take another phone call here. Again, folks, again, when I get to you, you can stay on the line, certainly, and I'll certainly, you know, take some other calls. But do, you know, please keep listening in. I appreciate that. Here's another phone call here, 732 number, another 732, okay. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what questions you got for us tonight here on Politically Direct? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello, hi.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I just have a question. Do
sure,
you have
Stephanie,
a campaign slogan that matches your beliefs?
Okay, that's good. That's a good question. Professor, may I jump in?
Yeah, absolutely. Please. Yeah, please.
Okay. And you know what? It's kind of funny. I thought about this for a while. And I'm sorry, what was your name again?
I think her name was Stephanie. Stephanie, still with us?
Oh, Stephanie, I'm sorry. Hi, Stephanie.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. It's kind of funny. I thought about it, and at first I was going to say a campaign of ideas, just because I want to keep putting out ideas for everyone. But what I settled on is believe in better, because there is a better way, and I think it's something we all can believe in. We need, after a pandemic and a rough year, something to believe in. So
all right. Well,
that's
you know
when you'll start seeing it on my
I,
literature. Believe in better.
All right. I like that.
I had some smart people helping me with that, too.
Oh, listen, I know you do. I know you have incredibly intelligent people working on your campaign, Mr. Levine. So it's good to know that. And again, folks, I still see some numbers in the call queue. Don't hang up. I'll get to your calls in a moment. I just want to take some calls in the air right now. But let me get back to some topics here. I definitely have a list I have to go on here. So, again, I appreciate your patience.
Sure.
Hang in there. I'll still take some calls in a little bit. Folks, hang in there. Please be patient. I appreciate it here on InsiderNJ.com/podcast. Mr. Levine, you know,
yes, sir.
I think about the sort of the budget, and I know that last year, due to the pandemic, Governor Murphy, via executive order, mandated that the state budget be delayed until September. Obviously, it was very extreme circumstances, but we know that, A, the state budget has to be signed because it's required by the state constitution, and B, obviously, if it's not signed within a specific amount of time, then obviously the state shuts down. We've seen that. We saw it in 2006,
yes.
I believe, with Governor Corzine. We saw it in 2016 with Governor Chris Christie. And obviously, we almost ran the risk with Governor Murphy back in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. It was, it's sort of a very scary time, obviously, during budget season. We know in the last budget, the number continues to balloon up, Mr. Levine. So, you know, should you win the primary and subsequently face Governor Murphy and win the gubernatorial election later on this year, you know, you're going to be part of having to sit down with the legislature and negotiating the new budget. where do you feel, again, I don't want to put you on the spot per se, but where do you think we can, cut some fat out of the budget? Because God knows it's almost like a bone that a dog sees and his mouth is salivating in Trenton. So where's the fat in the budget, Mr. Levine?
Now, I have to take a good look at it, because if you're in the governor's chair, you're privy to all those amounts. And I don't mean to be punting. Again, as mayor, as freeholder, I got my fingers in the numbers, and we looked at things that are over the top, things that were where there's redundancies. So I'm sure I could find it. I'm almost positive, because it keeps being bloated. It's like a balloon you keep pumping water into. It keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's about to pop. So, well, one thing we have to look at, helping our property taxpayers. You alluded to that before. And as we've said, I think on your last program, that affects renters too, because your rent is a function of the property taxes and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think we can get into that budget, look at it, and find areas where we can pull back the spending. We have to. I mean, just because something's a good idea doesn't mean we can afford it. And people do that in their homes, like, all the time, virtually every day.
Well, Mr. Levine, the problem, though, is, too, that, you know, in the legislature, it seems to be sort of, you know, an epidemic when it comes to, you know, irresponsible budgeting and spending, because I almost cringe at the thought that, you know, if these legislators ran their homes or spent the way they do at home as opposed to when they're doing their jobs as legislators, I think they'd be homeless. I think that's the sort of disconnect that exists in Trenton. Is that fair to say?
About
a lot of the irresponsible spending?
Yeah, I think a lot of them, right, if it were their home, it'd be equivalent to saying, you know what, I'm going to buy a new Mercedes each year, and my grandchildren will pay for it because I'll kick the can down the road. That's what they're doing with the state. So with the budget, it's, for me, again, it's multifaceted. First, I've done it in the government. I've done it for businesses. But I've also given seminars and webinars, and I have to count up maybe a dozen times to businesses and small business owners on budgeting and techniques and how to cut the budget. And and I've written a couple manuals on it. I'll have to send some out. And one thing also, let's say on cutting, it's not just talking. This goes back a while before I was ever elected to an office. I was the president of Family Service of Central Jersey. It might have been called Family Service of Middlesex County at the time. And I inherited a $60,000 deficit. That's when funding for nonprofits was falling, and we were staring at bankruptcy. And it was a little bit of working where we could to find extra funding, but it was also taking an axe to where we could cut also. And in 18 months, we went from a $60,000 deficit to a surplus, because you look at it, you get your fingers in the nitty-gritty, and you do what you have to do. And that's what I would do with the state.
Well, again, we're getting to the epicenter here of, you know, the problem that I think that exists in Trenton is that it's so complicated to look at the budget, though, Mr. Levine, isn't it? It's so multi-layered where, you know, the governor and I think the legislature collectively have a lot of interest to sort of appease, whether it is funding, obviously, state government. But at the same time, I think it's also to some extent appeasing some small interests that always find
Absolutely.
A way to influence Trenton. And, you know, one of the small interests that always appeals to me because it affects me directly is, and I just talked about this on my other podcast, is the impact of the public sector unions. For example, the NJEA, the National Education Association,
mm-hmm.
The AFT, which I'm a member of as working in higher education, the American Federation of Teachers, but also, you know, the CWA, you know, other public sector unions. You know, they've always been beholden to Democrats for as long as I can remember, Mr. Levine. And it seems that, you know, regardless of if you have a very, you know, not passive, I hate to use that word to describe him, but a very sort of friendly and warm demeanor like Tom Kane, right, former governor,
yeah.
as opposed to the sort of very much in your face Chris Christie in 2009 when he ran for governor. You know,
yeah.
what personality can you bring to this race where, again, it's not just only mobilizing Republicans and getting independents on your side, but I think to some extent, Mr. Lee, you have to kind of sway some Democrats, especially those that are very unhappy in parts of the state that were hit hardest by COVID and those that were hit hard by what some would call the governor's very punitive executive orders, teachers, public sector workers, and that to that extent as well. What can you say to those union-type employees that are voters in New Jersey that is going to sway them because they've voted Democrat and they've been dependent Democrat voters forever? What can you say to them tonight?
I'm going to ask them to take a step back and look at their situation. And when your small business closes or you're the custodian at a school or a baseball stadium or a theater and you're not working – Democrat, Republican, Independent, doesn't really matter. Who can help me is what they should be thinking. And knowing that, with this pandemic, I think it was I'm upset about the lack of empathy for, like, everyone around. Okay, you closed the restaurants. People lost their jobs. And it's all the ancillary things around it, too, as I alluded. It's the people who clean the place. When the sports arena closes, it's all the businesses and the small shops around them that close also. It's the, unfortunately, domestic violence and depression, which skyrocket during the pandemic, and the poor people at nursing homes who really didn't get a fair shake at all. It's not only getting the vaccine, that's great, we've got it, but all these ancillary things, they have to be fixed too. All the problems it generates. And I think people, Democrat, Republican, Independent, will know that these things, if just voting down a party line, is not going to fix it. And everyone, I'd be glad to listen to them and hear it, and don't just vote for me because of a label, but vote for me because I can do the job. And I'm concerned, and I hear your pain, and I know what it's like, and I deal with people in my business like that every day. And it's a lot of individuals, and it's a lot of businesses. And that's what we've got to do things for and remember. And if we keep the big picture in mind, I think that's what will start working. And I think people will hear those who are hurting and say, label doesn't matter. Fix it for me and my family. Because I know people, this is what I found, people that they don't want the handout, they don't want unemployment, they just want to work their job and provide for their family and have a little bit left over for bringing the kids to the amusement park or for retirement or paying for an education. That's what people really want.
Absolutely. Mr. Levine, let me ask you this, because it is 2021.
Yes.
We swear in a new president just a couple weeks ago, and certainly the 46th president is moving forward with a new agenda, obviously,
yes.
to a large extent, a polar opposite of the 45th president. But you know what? The
yeah.
Republican Party, I would argue that in New Jersey, the Republican Party, I think, is at a crossroads. And what I mean by that is where the party goes from here. Obviously, the 45th president was not reelected. There were pockets
right.
of the state where the president, where the 45th president was very popular. We saw that early last year when the 45th president came to Wildwood, New Jersey, and my goodness, it was
yeah.
just a crazy affair down there. Clearly, the 45th president was very popular in South Jersey,
yeah.
pockets of the Jersey Shore, you know, Morris County, maybe a little bit west. But you know, Joe Biden won New Jersey pretty handedly, and I know aside from
yeah.
my issues I have with vote by mail, which we can get to later. But the bottom line is,
yeah.
it would seem that the Republican Party right now is at an impasse. What can you say to voters tonight listening to you that may say, well, I don't know if Brian Levine's a MAGA guy or if he's really a conservative or is he more libertarian? It seems like whoever is going to be the nominee, Mr. Levine, he's going to have to find a way to bring the party together, because it doesn't do the party any good, theoretically, for it to splinter off into little factions. Because, again, as I mentioned before, the registration numbers, Democrats have a solid advantage when it comes to voters registered per party. Again, unaffiliated people like myself ultimately decide elections. But Democrats, by a margin of 38 to 22, have a solid lead in terms of registered voters.
Right.
The last thing the Republican Party needs is infighting. What can you tell voters tonight that you can do to bring the Republican Party together? Because it would seem that in New Jersey, it might need a reboot. What do you say to them tonight?
Okay. And that's a good point. So to bring the Republicans together. And when I've run in all my races, I've always had solid Republican support. So I think when I say, okay, I'm a fiscal conservative, but I think we've got to put aside labels and say, what's our basic philosophy? We believe can and want to help themselves. And I'm right there. And there, we do need a safety net. There's some people who, due to circumstances, whether through life or birth or whatever happening, need a little bit of a leg up. So basically, we want to teach people, as the old saying goes, how to fish, not give them a new fish every day. And I think whether they're on any end of the spectrum from the Republicans, we can come together with that. We want fiscal responsibility, and I think we can all come together for that also. We think that Big Brother shouldn't be looking over our shoulder all the time, and I don't want that. And I think we believe in integrity, and I want openness. And I think if we speak to that, we don't have to get caught up in New Jersey on the Republican side on all the national issues. So what do we want for our state? And I think how we can come together.
Well, Mr. Levine, that's a great segue into my next question. What's good for our state? What issues should we focus on in our state? And one issue that I think matters greatly to many New Jerseyans, and, you know, on November the 3rd, New Jerseyans, by an overwhelming margin of 67% to 33%, told Trenton it's time to legalize recreational marijuana for anyone over the age of 21 for usage. Mr. Levine, it's been 3+ months since then, and the reason this is a personal issue for me is, number one, listen, for everyone tuning in there, I mean, I've never smoked marijuana. I don't care to. Interestingly, as a matter of fact, after the show tonight, I'm going to have a nice glass of red wine to relax after a long day.
Good. I'll join you.
Absolutely. But many New Jerseyans, Mr. Levine, take this issue seriously. And for me, why it's personal is because before I worked in academia, I worked in our state government for 10 years. I worked in our criminal justice system. So I saw firsthand when I worked at the Hudson County Jail in Kearney, when I worked at the Essex County Jail in Newark, I saw firsthand for years that black, brown, and even white people were being incarcerated unjustly for draconian, antiquated drug laws. And it seems that three months later, the legislature and the governor can't get on the same page. And meanwhile, we're still incarcerating people unjustly. We're ruining their lives for what is ultimately a very harmless narcotic. I mean, for lack of a better word, I mean, it's still classified as one by the DEA. It just seems that Trenton is tone deaf on this issue. They're dragging their feet. And in the meantime, again, we're not reaping the benefits of any revenue, and we're still putting people in jail. What would a Brian Levine administration look like when it comes to either regulating marijuana, taxing it accordingly? Because, again, you want to eliminate the black market. I mean, if you tax it too much, there's no incentive to buy it legally. What would a Brian Levine administration look like when it comes to how to best regulate marijuana usage, how to decriminalize it, how to take those revenues and put it in a positive direction?
Okay. Good points all. And part of the sale, so to speak, of having legalized marijuana, at least decriminalized, was, okay, the state can regulate it and tax it and all this money. That rarely ever comes to fruition when I've ever seen anyone promise something. Money earned by the government, it usually doesn't happen. So, I mean, if we do as a state, then it's a bonus. But personally, I wouldn't count on it. And you're right, that in the U.S., for example, as I understand it, we have a higher percentage incarcerated than anyone in the world. Something's wrong here. And you can probably send 2 people to Harvard or 10 people to Rutgers for the cost of keeping a prisoner every year. If we put some money into stopping the recidivism when they come out or the prevention before they go in, that would reap dividends from instead of paying for the extra prisons and prison times. It's harder to know that you've stopped someone from going to prison, but I think the numbers would bear out. So what I would want to do is look at programs where we help people. It could be inner cities, it could be suburbs. Help people in their learning and especially their education. And education could be higher education, our great community colleges, and our great vocational and technical schools, which prepare people for great careers. And I think they're underutilized. There's just so much there. Another thing, and I was going to roll this out, but since you asked, I'll let you know. Like always, whenever there's something new, it's a whole new bureaucracy. So the state is designing this big bureaucracy on how to handle marijuana. But to me, and I'd have to see this is viable, but my gut reaction is, you know what? You've got what's called ABC, Alcoholic Beverage Commission. They're already doing a whole bunch of regulation. And we regulate tobacco. We should kind of merge these. That's a savings. Like, why do I need a whole new bureaucracy full of a new big patronage pit like we've seen happen in the state all the time, when we can probably fit it into our infrastructure right now? So when you see, how would it look under a Brian Levine administration? We would help people. When people are coming out of prison, not just throw them out on the streets, but help them back into society, help prevent them, looking at education, and don't create a whole big bureaucracy, again, full of a patronage pit. I'm sure people are drooling just to get a job in a new bureaucracy that's starting out. I think we can fit it in where it goes, and there needs some regulation there, but I think we can do that already. We already have the infrastructure.
Well, Mr. Levine, when you talk about reducing bureaucracy, and that sort of helps me segue to the next point here, something that's been talked about forever, and I know many Republicans in the legislature have advocated for this. Certainly, it has not seen the light of day because, again, Democrats control the both chambers with pretty solid majorities, and so it's never come to light. But, you know, there's always talk around election time about consolidating municipalities, and I think, you know, I would make the case, and you know, this is where the policy nerd in me comes out from my days in graduate school at Rutgers in Newark. It would seem that it would be so fiscally, you know, pragmatic to consolidate some townships, perhaps some board of eds, some services, because it just seems to, you know, as you said, bureaucracy just continues to grow. We don't need more bureaucracy. I would argue that we need less of it. Is it realistic? Again, should you become governor, is it realistic on your part to maybe talk to the legislature and say, hey, this is where consolidation is needed. We're not trying to be mean-spirited. We're not trying to put people out on the street and take away jobs, but we have to be fiscally responsible. We have not been that in New Jersey for almost 20 years, if not longer. Is consolidating municipalities something that's realistic, and is that something you're for?
As I'll often say, the proof in the pudding is what's happening and what does it cost to do. Small municipalities, whether it's Rocky Hill in Somerset County or Estelle Manor in Atlantic County or Bass River down there too, which are smaller in population, their municipal taxes tend to be about the same as large municipalities. Like I came from 170,000. So in my town, we were able to, because it's large enough, we could have our own inspectors and fire inspectors and code enforcement and Department of Public Works. Although when I was mayor, we moved our health inspections to the county, which saved us over six figures per year, so that was a good one. But small towns, they tend to be models of shared services, whether they might go in and buy a big piece of machinery with another town or pay a large town to use it occasionally or share a tax collector. They tend to be pretty good at that. So I wouldn't be for forced coming together or forced consolidation. If they want to, I would be glad to lend them state resources to do that. Where I see a lot of extra, and this bears out when we look at other states also, is in our educational services. Now, I'll say right off the bat, I think we need more money in the classrooms and more teachers, because that's where our kids learn. That is so important. And again, everything from making good citizens, keeping people in the state, supplying our universities, and even keeping people out of prison. Education is the key. Where we fall short is the administration. Think of every town, all your listeners, and all the towns surrounding them. All of them have a superintendent, an assistant super, and a coordinator of math and English, and and they have a whole cabinet around them. It's thousands and thousands of administrative jobs earning $100,000 to $200,000 a year or more. If those would consolidate, again, I would take that money and put it in the classroom, make it more high-tech, give it more teachers, give it paraprofessionals. I think it's, for some reason, over the last few decades, we're layered in educational bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
We can do the programs, which we need to. We can get the education to the kids. But I don't think we need seven levels above someone telling the teacher what they're going to teach. So
okay. Fair enough.
And if it doesn't go in the classroom, it could be property tax relief also. Money going, what a strange concept. Money going back into someone's pocket. That would be
exactly.
Great.
No, it is a novel concept for sure. Folks, it's a little after 10 o'clock here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. We're here live with 2021 gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party, Mr. Brian Levine. Let me go to the phones here right now very quickly. We have a couple more things to deal with here on the show and address
sure.
with Mr. Levine. Let's take some calls here. I see a 908 number. I appreciate your patience. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question for me or for Mr. Brian Levine here on Politically Direct? Hello, how are you? Yes, hello, 908
Hi,
number.
Yeah, that would be me. Okay, this is Joe from Bergen County.
Hi, Joe, how are you, sir?
Okay,
I've been listening.
It's been great.
Great.
We talked about the pandemic effect on small businesses. I have a small business, but the red tape and the paperwork continues anyway. And the red tape down in Trenton is just still unbelievable. What would you do about red tape? What have you done about red tape to try and make it easier for the businesses?
Okay.
Robert, thanks for your question. I appreciate you tuning in to Politically Direct, sir. Stay healthy out there, all right? Thank you again for listening to the show tonight. Mr. Levine, what do you say?
Yeah, thanks for the question. That's very good. And, again, we do wrap red tape all around our businesses. One thing I like, which I liked a lot of things Governor Christie did, but one thing was he started a red tape review commission, which Governor Murphy promptly shut down once he got into office. I don't understand why, since that was nonpartisan. But anyway, the idea was two things. Well, it was probably multiple, but the two things which stood out for me is if something's regulated, let's say like code enforcement, if New Jersey shouldn't have a stricter standard than the federal government because we figure the federal government knows what they're doing. So it's kind of like pulling back on that bureaucracy. And he formed a red tape review commission, which was chaired by Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno, who I worked very well with, and it was equally divided. It was equal number of legislators from Democratic and Republican, and there was someone from the business community, and then I was chosen also, extremely honored, because I was a mayor and then a freeholder to represent that. And we would hold meetings every couple months, invite the public, and they would come in and say everything from, gee, I'm a nurse, and it takes me so long to get reciprocal license in New Jersey, let's say from Pennsylvania, then the other way around, then we'd look at that and say, okay, can we fix it administratively or through the legislature? And that was one thing. I actually, that was volunteers, you know, didn't get paid for that, but it was, I really enjoyed that because we could see people and they brought their direct problems, which might have been lost in the shuffle, to us, in front of us. We had open hearings and we would listen to it. And frankly, Lieutenant Governor Guadagno was a very good chair there and made sure things got done along with the legislators. So I would absolutely implement that, use that model again, Governor Christie's model, to put that back in place so that we can listen to people and stop the red tape. And again, it gets out of the way. Like we're always tying up small businesses too much. I'm not sure why we want to do that. And also the concept was reduce regulation. And like I said, government has a place. You want safety. You don't want a building to collapse. You want the fire inspection to be well. You want the restaurants inspected for health. We all want that. But it's like almost regulation to make a job or for overwork. Then that's a burden. But that's a great concept too. And I want to thank, I think it was Joe for that question.
Yes. If I mistake the name there, Joe, a great question out of Bergen County. I appreciate listening. Mr. Levine, we're going to take one more call here because I want to be able to finish up with you and get a couple other questions in. I got
sure,
a 732
thanks.
Number, 732. You've been on hold for a while. I appreciate your patience. 732, what's your name, where you're calling from, and what do you have for us tonight here on Politically Direct? 732, how are you? You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Jerry Bruno from Freehold.
Jerry,
got
how are you, sir?
I have four daughters.
Jerry,
I have four daughters.
Sure.
And the cost of everything, it's killing us. Everything is so expensive, the property taxes, all the taxes, all the fees to the state. So you seem to think the state budget is a mess. So what have you done, be specific, please, to show us you have the ability to put New Jersey on a better path, on a better course, and help give us some relief?
All right. Thanks, Jerry. And you're right, Jerry. It's easy to talk. Anyone come up here, you know, frankly, politicians from California to New Jersey and Missouri to Texas all say, I'm going to lower taxes, you know, things like that. And for most people, I don't blame them. It goes in one ear and out the other because you've heard it from Democrat, Republican, Independent, and then you put them in office and often nothing happens. There's those few shining lights where they do, but often they don't. So let me delve into my history here a little bit. When I was in, but going back to my mayor days of a decent size town, and it's good to be able to lead a town and get things done. And while I was there, I believe the whole time the council was Democratic Party, but we could work well together. We frankly did. And often we would disagree and I would lose the vote. But that's okay. Then I either come back to bring back the point another time or go on to the next issue. We would budget very conservatively, meaning we wouldn't anticipate any extra revenue, but we try and put in all of our expenses. So when I left, I think I alluded to it before, office as mayor, I think we had one of the highest surpluses in the state. And we didn't just take money whenever any extra came in. Sometimes there's unanticipated revenue and throw it in to buy something new. We would bank it, or if unanticipated revenue came in, we might use a special project. Like once there was a large amount of money coming in, it might have been from, you know, settling a lawsuit or something. And instead of putting it in the normal budget, we needed some infrastructure fixture. I think it was the animal shelter that needed fixing. So we did that. So it's budgeting prop, going and blowing your money once you have it. And as freeholder, we maintained a AAA bond rating, and we determined last year that we would not raise taxes on people from the county level because going through a pandemic, it was too difficult. So sometimes you put off a project which you want because that's the right thing to do. And also, in my everyday life, I'm a practicing CPA, certified public accountant, and I'm helping businesses all the time, like virtually daily, with their budgets, with their businesses, with their individual households. And again, I alluded to also my multiple hats of fiscal responsibility. Before I was elected, I was president of a nonprofit, and we went from when I became president, we went from deficit to surplus, just from being attentive and not being afraid to make a decision.
Well, absolutely. And Mr. Levine, you know, speaking of making a decision here, and folks, if you're just joining us here, it's 10:10 on the East Coast. Joining us here tonight on Politically Direct is 2021 New Jersey gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party, Mr. Brian Levine, here joining us on Blog Talk Radio. We're about to wrap up soon. But, Mr. Levine, before I let you go, a couple things here I want to really touch base with you on.
Yes.
Certainly, whether it's Governor Murphy or should you be the nominee for the Republican Party, the responsibility falls on who's at the top of the ticket to help carry who's below the ticket. And certainly, in addition to the gubernatorial election, all 120 legislative seats are up for grabs this year, all 80 in the state assembly, all 40 in the state Senate. Up where I live in Hudson County, in the 31st, 32nd, and 33rd districts collectively, they're solid blue. So and I know this from having run for state assembly 10 years ago. It's a daunting task for Republicans to win any seats here. But there are pockets of the state where there are a lot of vulnerable Democrats that are perhaps, you know, in trouble. New Jerseyans are upset about what's going on with the pandemic. Perhaps they feel that a lot of these establishment Democrats haven't been doing the work that they should be. The bottom line is, you know, just like it's up to Governor Murphy to try to carry some of these seats, you know, should you be the nominee, how confident are you that you at the top of the ticket can help Republicans shave off some of those leads in the chambers of the legislature where ultimately Republicans can win seats? How confident do you think you can do, how confident do you feel you can be in helping those at the under you on the ticket win some seats in the legislature?
Okay. That's good point also, Professor, and you know you've lived that. So I tend to be the eternal optimist, but not only for optimist's sake, but because I work towards it. In districts where, and I would like to get some Republicans extra in the legislature because that could help push through my agenda. I do want to work with everyone, but if they're on board of my philosophy of making the state leaner and better for everyone, I could use the assistance. So what often happens is, if it's a heavily Democratic majority district, often those legislators, candidates, are on their own. I would use a 40 district strategy, meaning everyone is in on it. We're all rowing the boat in the same direction. Those people, and you know because you've been there, they put in often their own money and certainly time, which is away from their family, their businesses, their interests, just because often they'll have an idea or a philosophy of what they think is good, and they're left to flounder on their own, and that's really unfair. So I would try and give everyone who is running from philosophy from the state Republicans some money, seed money to keep going, which hopefully we would match if they could raise some of their own, and help. They would get organizational help, they'd get people help, and it would help them move along their way. Now, it could be a tough task, but like I said, I'm the eternal optimist, but not for optimist's sake. It's we have to help them along too, and they deserve it. And you know, like I said, they put a lot into it because not because there's like this big pot of gold at the end, but because often, and this is what I found speaking to people, they have an idea or a philosophy they want to put through. And if nothing else, those ideas should be put on the table, but also they should be helped to win their elections too. So I'm in it with everybody.
Well, Mr. Levine, and again, before I let you go, certainly you've been a gentleman after a long day working, campaigning. Obviously, you know, to dedicate an hour tonight is extraordinary. So I really appreciate your time.
Totally, my pleasure.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And before I let you go, again, I just sort of want to preface this by saying that, you know, I admire you. Certainly, running for office is something that is taxing emotionally, physically, financially. You've been entrenched in the wars and the battles, as they say. So you're tested as as the phrase goes. But moving forward, in closing, what do you want to tell our listeners tonight about the man, Brian Levine, looking to win the Republican nomination for governor in 2021 and consequently facing Phil Murphy later on this year leading up to Election Day?
Okay. A little bit so you know who I am. Again, Brian Levine. I'm married to Lori, two girls, one in college, one in high school. I when I'm to gain my energy, I like to go out running in the streets. If you see someone with some blue sneakers and a headband, that very likely may be me. My background is I went to good old Rutgers with a degree in economics, with a minor in math and computers, but I did become a CPA. So I love dealing with people and small businesses. And like I said, I've given a lot of talks and webinars because I like imparting the knowledge to people. And then my graduate degree from good old Rutgers, too, which is another point. We should find ways we can encourage our state universities and our state colleges. And what a lot of people run for office because they want to hold office, anywhere for up or down the ticket. I've always run, and I never let myself go forward until I said, what is it you really want to do? What's the goal? And when I've outlined it to myself, I want to do this. In the town, it was fiscal responsibility. It was, we didn't get into this, but it was stopping a terrible eminent domain project when I was mayor, which we eventually did. And I want to push that integrity matters, and we can do that, and we can be open, and we can have our mindset on everyone, going back to the pandemic, as we discussed, like that, but all the ancillary things around it. We can all do this together, and I have confidence, going back to being the eternal optimist, that we can all do this together. We would all work together, and again, raise the level of the river for all of our boats.
Well, Mr. Levine, certainly you've given my listeners tonight a good insight into not only your candidacy, but you as a public figure. And certainly, again, I want to thank you for your time tonight. My apologies to we still have a few people on hold. I could not get to your calls tonight. I do appreciate you listening. Certainly, please keep listening on the podcast every week here. And, you know, again, you know, there's only so much time within the program allotted.
Yeah.
You know, I have to ask some questions. So, again, my apologies to people that are still on hold. Again, you know, please, you know, call in next week or write to me online. Obviously, if you have a question, I can certainly forward it to Mr. Levine here later on this evening. But, Mr. Levine, again, I want to thank you for your time. Thanks again for coming on here, answering some tough questions. Because it's not easy running for office, and certainly in a state like New Jersey, you have to, you know, get the gloves up early and often. And you seem ready to be doing that.
Yeah.
I wish you the best of luck as you, again,
thanks,
proceed
Professor.
Here in 2021 as you approach June for the primary. And we'll see who comes out victorious during the primary. And obviously, you know, your heart's in the right place, and you're running for office for the right reasons. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Please let everybody you know how much you love Insider NJ and also the podcast.
I will.
All right. God bless you, Mr. Levine. Thanks for your time tonight.
God bless too, Professor. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Well, folks, what a good interview tonight here with Mr. Brian Levine. Again, my apologies, folks. I know that some people still obviously were on hold to get on with Mr. Levine. Again, I apologize. I couldn't take your calls here on the air. Again, there's just only so much time I have. So again, folks, please forgive me. If you have a question, do me a favor, write to the show. I'll share some contact information in a moment here on the podcast. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you had a chance to watch my interview with Mr. Levine on Monday when he was on Real Talk, that was about a good 35 minutes or so in sort of a Zoom structure on Monday. You know, he pretty much gave you the same perspective he did tonight, and really an insight as to his experience in government, what he's looking to do, how he's going to differentiate himself from his opponent, former Assemblyman Jack Chiarelli. And listen, I've had the privilege to interview both of these gentlemen in the last month and a half. Okay, the first episode of 2021 on Real Talk via Eisen NJ was with the former Assemblyman. I spoke with the former Assemblyman on this podcast a few weeks ago. You can listen to that interview also again at www.insidernj.com. www.mrlevine.com/podcasts. You know, clearly this week I had the opportunity to interview Mr. Levine, not once but twice, for the shows. And, you know, he gave me a perspective of what he stands for, certainly what type of Republican he is. And listen, we talked about it earlier. You know, Republicans have a daunting task here in the state. Democrats outnumber them in terms of registrations. I know this again because I ran for state assembly 10 years ago. So, you know, I know the challenges that Republicans face. But it's not impossible. And I think in a year where the governor certainly does not have history on his side, right? You know, again, as a history professor, you know, I know firsthand that Phil Murphy is looking to do what no other Democrat has done since the days of Brendan Byrne. I mean, that's a long time ago. I mean, that's, I think, even before my time. All right. So Governor Murphy is trying to get reelected, which is difficult for Democrats here in the state. Predominantly, we've had more Republican governors than Democratic governors in the last 4 years. That's a testament, I think, to how New Jerseyans, I think, like to sort of alternate when it comes to who is the chief executive in New Jersey. That's not been the case in the legislature. As I alluded to with Mr. Levine tonight, Democrats have had, you know, solid majorities in the legislature for nearly 20 years now. So when it comes to the state budget, when it comes to taxes and spending, you know, Democrats have had the biggest say. Of course, governors come and go, and, you know, some Republicans, some Democrats might veto budgets here and there. But the bottom line is, you know, when it comes to spending, Democrats and liberals and progressives have had the most influence on policy. So that's the challenge facing Republicans. And certainly it's good to hear that Mr. Levine is aware of that. And he seems energized and willing to, you know, get Republicans motivated to come out and vote for him. You know, obviously his experience in government is, you know, evident. He's won elections before, getting independents on his side, getting Democrats on his side. So, listen, it's going to be a very interesting primary, folks, to say the very least, coming up until June between him and Jack Ciccarelli. And we know that Jack has had a bit of, you know, let's be real here. Let's talk facts. You know, Jack has had a bit of a head start over everybody, right? I mean, and again, if you listened to my podcast with Jack Ciccarelli a couple weeks ago, and even on the other show on Real Talk via Eisen and Jay, you know, he was the first one to tell you, you know, if you had the Monday morning quarterback, what went wrong for him in 2017 is that he got into the race too late. Well, that's not been the case for him. You know, he's been actively campaigning since 2018. Now, he did not officially declare until the end of 2019, but he's been up and down the state. So clearly, Jack has, you know, a head start. But for someone like Brian Levine, who, again, who was experienced in government, for someone who has won elections, it is certainly not intimidating him in the least. So it'll be interesting to see, ladies and gentlemen, what happens in the next few weeks. So we'll definitely keep you posted on this race, and we're hoping to have Mr. Levine on again in the next few weeks, if not in the next couple months, leading up to the primary, and certainly willing to get a perspective of how the campaign is going. And that's what we do here on the program, folks. So, you know, again, I appreciate you guys tuning in here tonight. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any suggestions for a guest or a topic coming up, or again, if I didn't take your call on the air tonight, my sincerest apologies. Again, there's just so much time I can go through on the air, only a certain amount of calls I can take, you know, time permitting, right? I want to make sure I give the guest as much time as possible and get through all the questions I have. As a matter of fact, I actually have like 7 other questions I couldn't get to. It was that good of a program tonight in terms of the fluidity of the show. So, but if you have a for Mr. Levine that you connect, you know, get on the air, or just in general, what do you think of the podcast? Write to me, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. I welcome your comments, your feedback, what you thought about the episode tonight, or any previous ones, right, when you listen to www.insidernj.com/podcast. Also, folks, don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj, and also my own Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. Love the new followers, and I enjoy the likes. I know many of you look forward to my Instagram stories, whether it's memes about politics, pro wrestling, sports, whatever, you know, just how I'm feeling, you know, motivational quotes, you know, whatever. Check me out on Instagram whenever you can, folks. Also, hit me up on Twitter at NoFilterUribe. Once again, at NoFilterUribe, U-R-I-B-E. For all you Facebook subscribers, take a moment, like Politically Direct on Facebook, and tell your friends to do the same. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know, for the best political coverage anywhere in the state of New Jersey, it's always via Insider NJ at their website, www.insidernj.com. com. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see the subscribe button. Click on it, and you're automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. So whether you're having your morning coffee, walking your dog, or just, you know, navigating through your inbox in the morning, right? Sometimes we get hit with spam mail, we're paying bills, whatever it is. You know what? You're on your phone, most likely, right? Or your Mac or your tablet, whatever, PC. And when you check your email, the morning intelligence briefing will be right there waiting for you with the best journalism, the best columns. Again, it starts with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro. Certainly other columnists, Fred Snowflack, which is outstanding. Alan Steinberg, who I don't always agree with, but he's a great writer. Jay Lasseter, who I don't agree with hardly at all, but he's a great writer, to his credit, you know. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, I'm proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team, and certainly I hope you enjoy their political coverage because I would argue it's the best in the state. Don't forget to like Insider NJ on Facebook and also follow it on Twitter as well. Again, folks, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Well, folks, again, that's our show for this week. I can't say enough, really, about what an entertaining episode it was. If you missed any part of it, don't sweat it. You can check out tonight's episode in its entirety and all my other episodes free of charge, obviously, from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet at www.insidernj.com/podcast. And listen to them. Let me know what you think. And certainly you will not be disappointed. Folks, enjoy Super Bowl weekend. Glad to see that effective tomorrow, the governor has lifted the 10 p.m. curfew when it comes to indoor dining. I'm somewhat happy to see the slight increase from 25% to 35%. It should be higher. It should be 50%, if not more. But again, obviously, curfews have been lifted when it comes to bars and restaurants. Please party responsibly. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I'm avidly rooting for Tom Brady, a fellow 40-year-old man. Hey, you know what? He's representing us proudly. I'm hoping Tampa wins and ultimately get their second Super Bowl title. Prediction right now, folks. Tampa Bay, 38. Kansas City, 35. Again, you heard it here first, folks. We'll see what happens this Sunday at Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. Folks, if it's real, it's here. It is politically direct. Good night. Somerset, New Jersey. All my good people listening down there, hey, appreciate you being fans of Politically Direct here on the show. And certainly, folks, I can't say enough about what it means for all of you to tune in every single week. God bless you all. Again, folks, enjoy the weekend. I'll see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.